Look, in my book, the whole first half of the book, I really don't even touch on the revenue question. And that's because with email, exactly like what you've said, you really need to respect the subscriber relationship. So much of it is about not spamming people, making sure the under-promising, over-delivering, and making sure that every email that you send is valuable, right from the very first one all the way up to the time where you are actually sending purchase offers and promotions. And I have a rule, kind of a like a little heuristic that I sometimes say, like educate, inspire, entertain. If you're not doing one of those three things every time you send an email, then put it away and send something that does. And I mean, taking that back to your question, that does beg the idea of, well, if I'm just sending people all these valuable emails all the time and I've put all this money into making this opt-in that is going to add all these subscribers, exactly what you've said, when does the money come into play? And that's why you're doing email to begin with. What email really excels at is a conversation with a subscriber over a long period of time.
The smartest marketers from all walks of life, in every industry, talking about the latest trends, opportunities, and challenges. Insights from marketing executives at organizations like National Geographic, IBM, and the Baltimore Ravens. And tips from business authors and experts known around the world. Ways to improve your community's marketing, starting now. Right here on the Marketing Smarts podcast.
Hey, Marketing Smarts listeners, do you send email? Yeah, I get it. That's a dumb question, but do you send effective B2B email? Well, today we are talking about effective B2B email strategies with Matt Tracy. We're going to talk about what keeps him up at night with B2B emails. We're going to talk about some hurdles, success. We're going to debunk some myths, all sorts of good stuff. But hey, here's the deal. Matt Tracy is the go-to email marketing consultant for some of the world's top business authors, with praise from industry leaders such as Nouriel, Perry Marshall, and Michael Bungay Stainer. Matt combines a track record in email marketing with an academic background in ecological science. Matt knows what it takes to build systems designed for growth. In his best-selling book, Natural Orders, he describes how to develop a healthy, engaged, and portable email marketing database, mimicking the timeless growth strategies used by the most successful systems of the natural world. Engaging and thought-provoking, Matt's writing and speaking inspire his audience to think differently and to consider the multidisciplinary approaches that will help them take their business to the next level. Now, we're going to go ahead and get into this great interview, but first, let's get a word from our sponsor. Are you looking for great curated content specific to you, the B2B marketer? Want to have fun while also learning valuable information to help you succeed on a daily basis? Then you're in luck. Look no further. This week's Marketing Smarts podcast is brought to you by the Marketing Smarts Live Show. That's right, you can join us live every Monday where we shine the spotlight on you, the community members, share fresh B2B news, several top-notch curated articles to help you be a better marketer, and of course, have tons of fun along the way. If you want even more B2B marketing education with the ability to ask questions and engage with the rest of the audience, tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern for the Marketing Smarts Live Show. You won't regret the additional B2B learning you'll be adding to your life. Now, let's get back to this episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast. All right, B2B marketers, Marketing Smarts listeners, let's dive into effective B2B email strategies with Matt Tracy. Let's get into the good stuff. All right, Marketing Smarts listeners, we're back. It's your boy, George B. Thomas, and we are going to be talking about effective B2B, that's you, that's right, email strategies for the win. And Matt Tracy is on the Marketing Smarts podcast today. Matt, first of all, did I say that right?
Yeah, you did. That's correct. Matt Tracy.
All right. We are getting started and already winning, which if the Marketing Smarts listeners know, they know that I passionately care about getting people's names right. So the fun part here, Matt, is that we're going to talk about email strategies. I'm sure that this conversation is going to go in multiple directions. We're going to just kind of sit here and enjoy each other's company for a good 25, 35 minutes and try to add value for the Marketing Smarts listeners. Now, Matt, one of the things I love to do is ask a couple funny questions along the way, because I find that they usually dive us into some unique answers, if you will. And so when you think about B2B marketers, you know, the Marketing Smarts listeners are listening to this, and email marketing strategies that they might try to pull. Maybe they should, maybe they shouldn't. But Matt, what the heck keeps you up at night when you think of B2B marketers and email strategies?
The tactic of spamming people. That's the biggest thing when it comes to email. It's why it has its often poorly perceived reputation of being about spam. And I think that's the worst thing. I mean, really, what keeps me up about email is the fact it's so overlooked. I mean, it's the largest and it's the most active group of people online, right? It's also the highest engagement channel and it's also the highest ROI. But you know, the biggest benefit of all is probably the fact that there's no other channel out there that allows you to actually own your customer data in the way that email does. It lets you basically sidestep that platform risk so many people find themselves running into.
I love this already that we're getting into this thing of like, what keeps you up tonight? By the way, I always understand it could be a nightmare, it could be a dream. But if I'm a marketer and I just stop for a minute and I say, wait a minute, Matt just said it's one of the most engaging channels. It's one of the channels that I can most own out of any of them that I might be focused on. And the fact that it is just where you want to get people anyway, you're skipping the form, you're skipping the spray and pray. Like if you do it as a good human, this could be a great channel. I love that we're heading in that direction. So here's the thing. How can B2B marketers start to create a system and strategies to convert more what I'll call subscribers? But what I really mean by that, Matt, is people who want to end up in their inbox, want to be part of that engaging audience.
Yeah, so that's a good question. A lot of people, they're sending traffic to their website, right? And it's oftentimes they'll have some CTA on the website to take some desired action, whether it's inquire now, download something, put your information in here. But really what happens with that traffic that is very hard to get and increasingly hard to get is it's like filling a leaky bucket. So I sometimes say doubling your traffic is very hard, but doubling a metric that I call traffic to subscriber conversion, TSC, is relatively very easy. That's the amount of people that come to your site that actually convert into subscribers. And there's several ways you can do this. I've got quite a long article on my own site that talks about this, and I talk about it in my book as well at length. Basically, there are some best practice opt-in placements that you can do on certain parts of your site that are going to increase your baseline TSC, which industry-wide average is around 1.95%. But if you do this right, you can easily double or triple that. The best way to completely increase your TSC massively is something I call hyper-specific opt-ins. If you go open up your Google Analytics and you look at your top pages, say you're getting a lot of organic traffic, there's going to be something like an 80-20 distribution there, like your classic Pareto distribution, where it's like most of your traffic is going to maybe five of the pages on your site. Look at those five pages, look at what the search intent or the traffic intent is for those pages, and then craft something super valuable for each of those pages that's going to be something people definitely feel comfortable giving their email address for. Not just 10 top tips for XYZ PDF trash that a lot of people send out. Give people something that they would happily normally pay money for, and then you're going to be under-promising, over-delivering. It's going to set the subscriber relationship off to a really strong start.
I'll tell you what I hear when I hear you say that, Matt. I hear context and I hear specificity. And it's fun because there's a lot of marketers out there that I think are wielding what we're talking about or what you're mentioning as a sledgehammer when it really should be a scalpel. It should be this delicate kind of operation that you're paying a lot of attention to, creating this contextual specific content in those high intent pages. And I love that we're leaning into this. So let's kind of double down because you mentioned TSC. And my next question that I wanted to ask was kind of this most effective method for collecting email addresses without, here's the key point, B2B marketers, I want you to hear this part, without annoying your audience or killing traffic. In my mind, Matt, one of the things I like to do is kind of put words together. It hopefully simplifies the complex for most humans. It's this noise versus need conversation. And so what would you say to like an effective method of collecting these email addresses?
So what I was just talking about, those different placements that you can do and that hyper-specific strategy. But just zooming out a little bit, I completely agree with what you're saying. And that's probably one of the big mistakes people make with email marketing is they do take the sledgehammer approach. If you've got a list of, let's say, 100,000 people, sometimes inclinations just send out the same email to everyone, right? Whereas the really high ROI that you get that I spoke about earlier, it's massive, actually. I'll have to pull up the actual figure. It's something like $36 per $1 spent. And that was a figure I got recently. That's comparing to something like AdWords, where if you're using the channel correctly, you get something like $2 per $1 spent. So, I mean, I can't think of many investments that you can make where you're going to get 100% return. That's AdWords if you're doing it right. But email marketing, I mean, $36 per $1 spent is insane. And that all comes down to not taking that sledgehammer approach. And exactly as you said, specificity, right? Segmentation, personalization, all of these buzzwords. But I mean, we can get into how to actually do that sort of thing and why email is so uniquely positioned to allow you to do that.
Yeah, I think the fact that we're knocking on the door of segmentation and personalization, I think is absolutely a great direction to go. And I am also glad that you brought up money, just dollar bills, because, you know, it's great that that last question talked about how do we get more subscribers. But last time I checked, I can't pay rent with subscribers. It just doesn't work that way. People want to actually have hard-earned cash. So when you think about B2B marketers are converting these subscribers, now we've got a bunch of new subscribers. How do we take those into like first-time buyers, but at a very high percentage rate so we can get that revenue ROI we're looking for?
Look, in my book, the whole first half of the book, I really don't even touch on the revenue question. And that's because with email, exactly like what you've said, you really need to respect the subscriber relationship. So much of it is about not spamming people, making sure the under-promising, over-delivering, and making sure that every email that you send is valuable, right from the very first one all the way up to the time where you are actually sending purchase offers and promotions. And I have a rule, kind of a like a little heuristic that I sometimes say, like educate, inspire, entertain. If you're not doing one of those three things every time you send an email, then put it away and send something that does. And I mean, taking that back to your question, that does beg the idea of, well, if I'm just sending people all these valuable emails all the time and I've put all this money into making this opt-in that is going to add all these subscribers, exactly what you've said, when does the money come into play? And that's why you're doing email to begin with. What email really excels at is a conversation with a subscriber over a long period of time. It's something that some of the other social channels don't really allow to do. Say you have a campaign that runs for, let's just say, 2 weeks. If you're going to run that exact same campaign, that same content over something like Instagram, people might see 20% of the posts that you put out, whereas they'll likely see 100% of the emails and interact with, depending on your engagement rate, 60% plus. You get a lot more bang for your buck. And what that allows you to do is build a narrative over time. And the framework that I sometimes use for this is, some of your listeners might be aware of the book called Breakthrough Advertising by Eugene Schwartz. Do you know this one, George?
I think I've heard it in passing, yes.
Absolute classic. One of the best marketing advertising books ever written. One of the best copywriting books ever written, for that fact. He has this concept in there called the 5 stages of awareness, right? And this is massively useful for advertising, but I'd argue just as, if not more useful for email marketing. It's a really useful framework. So say someone's come to your site, as we were talking about earlier, and they've put their email address in exchange for something super valuable, then they get onto your list. The last thing you want to be doing is hitting them with offers and promotions straight off the bat. Some businesses, this is what you need to do. Like time of exposure to offer is really important. You need to take all of this advice with a grain of salt. It all depends on your business. But typically, especially in a B2B context where the sales cycle is a little bit longer, someone's going to be coming into your email list at what Schwartz would call problem or solution aware. So he's got 5 different stages: unaware, problem aware, solution aware, product aware, most aware. So in an unaware state, they don't know anything about the problem. They don't even know they have a problem. We're not interested in them in email marketing. When someone comes onto the site and they know that they have a problem and you're offering to help them solve that problem through this opt-in that you've just given them, they're somewhere between problem and solution aware. And as Robert Collier said, you've got to enter the conversation going on in the prospect's mind, right? And that's exactly what this framework allows you to do. You need to make sure that the information that you give those people when they join your email list is somewhere in between drawing out the problem that exists, so restating that problem to them so that they identify with it. It's confirmation bias. We love to see things that we already believe and have them reinforced to us, right? That's a good way to get your subject line open, by the way, just reinforce an existing belief. So if you're meeting with that problem aware stage, that's a good hint for that. And then solution aware, that's all about defining the solution space. So it's, you're not shoehorning your product in there, but you're just exploring solutions broadly for this problem that you've already identified. It might be 3 emails for the problem aware stage, 3 or 4 emails for the solution aware stage. And then crucially, we're talking about specificity here. It's those people who actually engage with those solution aware emails. You're going to segment them out and you're going to say, look, I know you're interested in what I'm talking about here. Here's the product that we offer. That's the best way to convert those people. Take them through the actual stages of awareness.
Love that. Marketing Smarts listeners, you might have hit the first rewind spot. Get that notepad out, get that pen or pencil out, or your iPad, or hey, you might be an Android user. Whatever. Chalk, spray paint, rewind, and actually take the notes that you need. Matt, I do want to go off the beaten path for a second because I keep hearing this word that you keep saying, and I know, like most marketing questions, it could end with, well, George, it depends. I'm hoping we get a little bit past that. But you keep mentioning this word value and emails of value. When you think about emails of value, what exactly does that mean? Like, is there a recipe? Is there a direction? Is there a framework? Like, talk me through that a little bit. When you're saying that, what do you mean?
Well, George, it depends. No, I'm joking. When I'm talking about value, what I'm really referring to is, how do I distill this down? There's no other word for it. I'm not sure how I can really back up on value or expand from there. It's something that is going to be helpful for me. It's going to help me solve a problem that I'm facing. It's going to help me overcome an issue that I'm facing. It's going to help me implement something at work. It's going to help me deal with something in a different way. This is what business is all about fundamentally, right? It's about providing value. So it's wealth creation. Have you ever read that essay by Paul Graham, Wealth?
No. All sorts of good resources on this episode. So talk to me about that.
Just earmark that one for later reading. But I mean, just to explore this idea of wealth and value creation and what it means in business, I think the more you take things back to the fundamentals, and that's what I really try and do in my own writing and my own work, is like go back to these classic timeless marketing principles, like some of these old copywriting books and that, they will never fail you. I lean on the nature metaphors a lot in my writing, like my book's called Natural Orders. I think some of these timeless principles are the best things. And in a broader context, this idea of value in business, that's all we're trying to do. We're trying to help connect people up with the things that are going to make their situation better, whatever that situation might be.
I love this. And I'll tell you, as you're kind of trying to unpack that, my brain went in this direction of, well, we're trying to help somebody pass a hurdle. We're trying to help somebody reach an aspirational point. We're probably leading to some type of insight that they once didn't have or know before. And really creating, when I think of value, Matt, it's just creating this catalyst moment for the individual, for the human, by the way, that's on the other side of your inbox that you're helping. So I love all of that and unpacking that. So before we move forward, I want to give you a chance to actually talk about the book for a second. You know, the title, who you really think it's for, why you think it's an important book for B2B marketers to be paying attention to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I've heard you mention the human element on this podcast a few times before, and I completely agree. That's what it's all about. And it's so easy to lose sight of that in the digital marketing world, right? With everything going online, we forget that there's people at the other end. And, you know, even more so in B2B, right? B2B is person to person selling. Like, so yeah, I completely agree with that. But look, about the book, it's the idea of the book is someone who's maybe doing a little bit of email marketing. They've drunk the Kool-Aid a little bit. They know about some of the benefits of it. They know about some of the things it can potentially do, but they don't know what advanced email marketing looks like. They're doing a bit. They're thinking, okay, what comes next? Where does email marketing really fit in my marketing mix? How can I use the channel to its full potential? So that's why I wrote the book. It's meant to be this 200-page, really accessible intro to how to use email properly, right? How to think about the channel properly. That's really what it is at a high level. My background's actually in ecology, so I studied and worked in ecology briefly. And look, without getting into it in far too much detail, the concept of the book is to avoid some of these problems that people sometimes run into when they're doing email marketing. Some of the big common mistakes when they're starting off is you should treat your email marketing database, your email list, a bit like an ecosystem, right? Some of these things like poor engagement that people get, like really low open and click rates, really high unsubscribes, leading to poor deliverability, leading to a poor sender score in the email marketing system. It leads to like this classic, what I call a top-down cascade, like you find in an ecosystem, right? I actually found a lot of overlap between some of the stuff that I'd been studying and working with in ecology and some of the basic dynamics of how an email list works. So there's that on that level. But, you know, the other potentially more powerful thing is it gets you away from this platform risk, right? Which I touched on earlier, this idea of you can have all of these other channels running red hot, but if you don't have your email list, you don't have what I refer to in the book as your own walled garden, right? Which I think is so important. You need to be nurturing this walled garden of your own and doing it in a non-spammy way that, again, going back to what you said, respects the human, right? That's really what it all comes down to. And I think the ecosystem analogy kind of lends itself to that perspective.
Yeah, so good. You kind of mentioned in there, like, people doing some things wrong. Matt, one of the things, I don't know if you've ever had a chance, you might have, because I did spy that Arizona license plate back there before we got started with the podcast, a show called Mythbusters. And man, I love that show because I could just, you know what, if there's a marathon, my wife knows, yep, I've lost my husband for the day. So I want to give you an opportunity to just kind of talk about, when we think about B2B email marketing, what's a common myth that you would want to debunk right here on the Marketing Smarts podcast?
Great show, by the way. I haven't seen it in many years. I don't even know if that's still running, is it?
I think there's reruns. I don't think there's new episodes that I've seen in a long while.
The biggest myth for me, look, it comes back to spam. You know, I've got someone on my list. I've got to hit them with a promotion and an offer straight away. It's not true. So many things we do in marketing, especially these days, are so data-driven, right? And we get lost in these metrics. We're like, oh, well, I'm converting this many people straight off the bat. Our conversion rate is up. But look at the other metrics, right? And what are some of the things that can't be measured that you're missing out of? So much of marketing is just cannot be measured, right? And I mean, that's without even getting into this death of the cookie business that we're all heading into. And attribution, I mean, attribution is a disaster. No marketer will really want to tell you that, but it's very hard to tell you where a purchase actually came from. That's coming from me doing email marketing, doing direct response stuff, right? So it is very difficult. I think consider some of the intangibles, some of the things that can't easily be measured, which in my book I refer to as the illegible factors, right? There's a great book called Seeing Like a State by James Scott that goes into that in a lot of detail. That's a myth.
It's interesting that people would even think of like either not or paying attention to in the wrong direction, those things. Okay, I'm about to, Matt, throw all the words at you. And I mean, when I say all the words, I'm just looking for any, because I like to make it action oriented for the Marketing Smarts listeners. Are there any tips, tricks, templates, hacks, any more words I can throw at you that the B2B marketers can use when building a subscriber to customer email strategy or system for themselves?
Okay, two ways to approach this. Number one is just like your high leverage, easy wins. That stuff I was talking about earlier with your traffic to subscriber conversion, that is so super high leverage. If you crack that, you can grow your list much, much faster. The second thing is, again, not spamming people as soon as they sign up, meeting people where they're at. That's also super high leverage. What that's going to do is it's going to set your foundations for your ecosystem, right? It's going to set really strong engagement baseline. It's going to stop people churning out immediately. It's just going to set a strong foundation for your whole ecosystem. And that leads pretty well into the next thing I was going to say, which is use this framework that I talk about. So I break it down into three stages. So broadly follows the way that an ecosystem develops over time. It's called the stages of succession. It's actually what started the field of ecology. The terms are actually still debatable, but I've broken it down into dispersal, recruitment, and establishment. So in the dispersal stage, what you're really trying to do, get people onto the list and make that a good environment where they want to stick around. You want people looking forward to your emails. The Hook Model by Nir Eyal is a really good resource for that. A book called Hooked, How to Build Habit-Forming Products, also applies to your email marketing. Look into that. You want to build that foundation for your ecosystem. And the metric that you're optimizing for at that stage is engagement. From there, you move over to a stage called recruitment. So that's when an organism comes into an ecosystem and then becomes a permanent member of that ecosystem. So in other words, that's conversion, right? And the way that you improve conversion with email marketing, again, going back to the reason that it has such high ROI, is because of this specificity, this segmentation, this personalization that we're talking about. And there's specific ways you can do that that I talk about in the book, but you really want to find ways to make your communication more specific with your audience. And that's going to be what leads to high conversion. From there, the final stage, your flourishing ecosystem, your big rainforest, that's establishment. That's where you have all the data built up. You've got your little walled garden and you can start doing really interesting things. You can follow Jay Abraham's advice of increasing repeat purchases, increasing your average order value, and increasing more initial purchases by putting more traffic into the system. It's a fully optimized, self-sustaining thing at that point. And you'll have the data to look in at who your top subscribers are and then target them with specific offers. And that's when the magic really happens.
I love the visual of B2B marketers out there creating their own massive rainforest. There's something that just makes me happy around that visual. But speaking of that, what are some hurdles that B2B marketers are going to face when implementing this in their organization? Like, what should they be watching out for, Matt?
If I'm talking about the two biggest mistakes people typically make with email marketing, I break them again down into this kind of ecosystem thing. One is called the top-down cascade. The other is the bottom-up cascade. So the system's either going to collapse in on itself or the floor is going to get pulled out from under it. So in the first one, the top-down cascade, I touched on it a little bit earlier. It's when you don't set these strong foundations from the beginning. So if you take the typical email marketing approach and you start sending people a lot of offers, you're putting people on the list, you're going to end up with poor engagement. And what comes with that typically is high unsubscribes. And then what that means is the dynamics of the list. And it spirals out of control into itself. It starts the snake eating the tail, right? It starts eating itself. The list collapses into nothing. What compounds this further is the fact that your sender score and your email marketing system of your choice will typically, I mean, this isn't official, but it is what happens. They'll put you on their junk servers. If you're consistently sending terrible emails, they're going to give you the crap servers and your deliverability is just going to get worse and worse. And it's going to be a very, very hard situation to come back from. So that's a top-down cascade. That's rainforest no bueno. And the next one is bottom-up cascade. And that's basically going back to this platform risk, right? That's the other thing. If you fail to actually build this walled garden, this email ecosystem of your own, then inevitably there's going to be a policy update, there's going to be an algorithm change, and you're going to have no recourse.
Yeah, you definitely want to like watch out for those hurdles, because especially if we go back to the beginning of the episode and how this could be one of the most engaging and best channels that you have, knowing those and paying attention to those is definitely key. So, Matt, how do we know we're doing email? Let's just say we're 3 months, 6 months down the road. Marketing Smarts listeners have listened to this episode. They've gotten value, insights from our conversation. How do they know that they've reached this kind of B2B email marketing nirvana or success with it?
Yeah, that is such a good question and not one that I've actually been asked before. And it's a really good exercise actually to visualize what this would look like. You know what a good, successful, healthy email marketing system looks like to me? Number one, good list health dynamics, which I've referenced earlier. So your unsubscribes are somewhere beneath 0.35%. Your open rates are, I don't know, 35% or above. Caveat to that, open rates are increasingly unreliable. They're not a good measure. They're only a good lagging indicator. We can go into that in more detail. But to stick to the point here, list health dynamics are really strong. And the second most important thing, and this is part of that recruitment stage I was talking about earlier, is you have data about your subscribers that's being automatically collected. So one of the big things you want to do is you want to track the interactions of people. So whether they open email A, B, or C and what that means for them, right? You want to set up a tagging system so that you're collecting data that actually has meaning for your business and your goals in your business. That's what a really successful email marketing system looks like. Once you're 6 months down the track and you've actually built up all that data, that is what allows you to move into that third stage where you can make those really interesting strategic decisions.
So good. So good. This episode has been wonderful. time flies when you're having fun. Matt, one of the other fun questions that I love to ask is this idea of wisdom. We've all been on a journey. Heck, you've been on a journey. You wrote a dang book about the journey, to be honest with you, around this email marketing thing. And so what are some words of wisdom that you'd want to share with the Marketing Smarts listeners as we kind of close out today's episode?
Look, I'm not going to pretend to hold any wisdom myself, so I'll use the words of someone wiser. I think I've actually mentioned him already. Look, enter the conversation going on in the prospect's mind. It's Robert Collier's words. I think that's invaluable for any type of marketing, B2B, B2C, emails especially. Heed those words.
So, Marketing Smarts listeners, did you take lots of notes? I have to ask, what is your hashtag one thing? Your number one execution opportunity after this podcast. Make sure you reach out and let us know in my inbox or on X using the hashtag, #MPB2B. Also, I have to ask, are you a free member of the Marketing Profs community yet? If not, head over to mprofs.com/MP today. You won't regret the additional B2B marketing education you'll be adding to your life. Hey, listeners, we'd like it if you could leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. But we'd love it if you'd share this episode with a coworker or friend. Until we meet in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts podcast, where we talk with Andrew Davis about understanding your B2B digital doppelganger and AI decision matrix, I hope you do just a couple of things. One, reach out and let us know what conversation you'd like to listen in on next. Two, focus on getting 1% better at your craft each and every day. And finally, remember to be a happy, helpful, humble B2B marketing human. And we'll see you in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast.